This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, here we are again. Another day in America. We're after a horrible tragedy. We're here to talk about it. And I don't know why, but this one feels different. We're going to talk about why that is. Of course, we're talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, which occurred in Utah at a college campus just yesterday, the 10th of September 2025. The tinderbox in America feels like it just kind of blew up. What happens next? Why did this take place? And what does this change as we go forward? Here we are on the 24th anniversary of 9/11, discussing all of this. And to help us do that, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, Stacey Cole, Todd Michaels, all with us this morning. I'm just going to throw it out there at this. Siobhan, why do you think this one seems to hit different for a lot of Americans?
The sad truth is that I think for a large section of the country, we are already living in a civil war of ideas. Both sides are not shooting at each other yet, but on an emotional level, it's you use the word tinderbox, it's an incredibly intense and fraught time in the country. And I think when people have a political leader that they look up to, that person becomes symbolic for everything that they believe in. Mm-hmm. And so an attack on their leader really hits them hard. It's like the general was killed, you know, and I did not follow Charlie Kirk. I tend to personally stay away from people that would go in the extremist category, no matter what side they're on, sure. Because I like to just get the facts and then come to my own opinions based on that. But a lot of people were very emotionally invested in his message. Mm-hmm. And so an attack on him feels like an attack on them and their values.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, it's I can't tell you I've ever listened to a full episode of Charlie Kirk. I knew who he was. I recently listened to a Bill Maher interview with him, which I thought was interesting, considering the two are pretty much diametrically opposed on most views. I wasn't a Charlie Kirk, fan of his message, but I respected his ability to give his message out there to who he wanted to. That's why we're in America. That's why you're able to do what you're able to do and why you're able to do what you're able, why you're able to do it. I think people on the opposite side of this are also very much affected because it's as polarizing as a figure as Charlie Kirk could be. At the end of the day, I think a lot of people, both sides of this, are very shaken up. There was a high school shooting while this happened.
Yeah.
But his assassination seems to almost symbolically feel very different. I'm really kind of at a loss for words on this because it really shook me. I don't know, it's just I saw the video and I don't want to ever see that again. At the end of the day, he was at a college campus debating people. You know, I mean, this is insane that we're at a place where this is what we have to worry about on a campus, on a public setting, a public forum. I mean, should we have already been worrying about this? Should this have never taken place to begin with? Should they have looked at this in another way? Like maybe the risks here are too great to do something like this. I don't know. There's so many would have, could have, should have in this. But at the end of the day, you have a father of two who was brutally, brutally murdered. And it goes beyond any of his opinions. It was just completely, I feel like there's a destabilization that has taken place. Has it? Are we about to enter a zone in our country now where we're going to start seeing a lot more political type assassinations?
I fear so. I also think it's been progressive. You know, mm-hmm. if we look at the list, a lot of people online have been circulating a list of all the political violence. Mm-hmm. And I mean, from going way back. We'd say in the last decade, there's been an increasing number of people. Just 3 months ago, the Minnesota, you know, Democrat legislator killed in her home and her husband and her dog. And the guy had a hit list of 45 other Democratic names. Paul Pelosi attacked and hit his head with a hammer. I mean, this is all stuff. This is not what we're used to in this country. I mean, there have always been the occasional political assassination, but it's been rare. It's not been the norm. And I think we've moved into a time where people are so rigidified and so activated and so angry. And then you throw a little bit of psychopathology in here and somebody that thinks that they're the virtuous savior. And, you know, it's a very fraught time. I personally avoid crowds. You know, there are a lot of parades or events that I would normally like to go to. I just don't feel it safe. And to go to a big political rally outside, I think you're taking your life in your hands at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the climate that we're in, where that is just kind of the harsh reality of it. We react to things in this country when they happen very harsh, and then we have very short memories.
What do we do about it? I mean, at this point, how many school shootings have we had in the last week?
I
don't know the number, but I can think of at least three. I could be wrong. It could be two, but there was one in Minnesota. There's one in Denver. I thought there was another one in between. But, you know, we're outraged for a day and then we go about our business. And when is it going to be enough? Where's the tipping point? Did we just hit it? Did we hit it yesterday? I don't know.
What I'm wondering about this, because I think everyone needs to take in society a big collective breath here on every side. This could be a time, as we're on the 24th anniversary of 9/11, of everybody, like, take politics aside and come together, go, what the hell are we doing? Mm-hmm. Like nobody wanted this to happen. Now, are there assholes out there on each side going and celebrating this death? Yes. And you should probably, you know, go find a hole and jump in if you're doing that. This is nothing to be celebrated. This is nothing. I don't care what you thought of Charlie Kirk, to be vitriolic about or anything of that nature. This is a human being who is expressing their opinion in a country where we are allowed to do it. And we celebrate it as one of our virtues, and yet we're in an atmosphere where the attitude seems to be, let's shut everyone up who has a different opinion than ours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can't be there. That doesn't work in a civilized society. And like you said earlier, this differs because it feels like. And we don't know the motivation behind the killer. And I don't even think it matters, but it does feel like it's an attack on an idea on what he stood for, what he believed in, which many people believe in. And they're not horrible human beings. They're fellow Americans with different opinions. Mm-hmm. And we've always been in a place where we live with fellow Americans with different opinions. And Charlie Kirk had all the dangers of a 1994 Sunday school teacher. What I found very interesting about all this, everybody that I was talking to yesterday, the comments that I read, I heard so many people say, yeah, but he said this. Yeah, but he said that. And you know what?
He has a right to say those things in this country.
But give me a second. The reality is, when I looked up 90% of the things that people are spewing to each other, going, he said this, he said that, he never said. There's so much of this. Let's jump on the bandwagon, and because he represents this, or his view is over here and that, somebody's going to say, "Well, he says this. Well, did you hear he said that?" And it's telephone, and it goes and it goes. Did anyone ever hear him say half of these things? And you look it up, it's like he's never actually said this.
That's a really good point.
Now there's plenty of shit. You know, I'm sure he said every side has their shit that they say, and some can view this as dangerous or that as dangerous. But I found it very interesting that most of the big points that I saw people throwing around there online of, well, he said this, never fucking happened. Never said aloud. But people would assign those things to him, and then they believed it. Mm-hmm. And then they sat behind it, and then they repeated it over and over. And then people grew more hate for somebody based on things that aren't even real. And I'm not trying to stick up for the views of Charlie Kirk. I'm trying to be a voice of reason here of people. They don't vet anything, and they don't mm-hmm. care about facts. They mm-hmm. want to go with a narrative that makes them feel good and makes them feel mm-hmm. most grounded in whatever they feel safe with, whether it's real or not. Can you speak to that at all on why this is happening?
100%. It's an area of absolute fascination to me. You know, culture traditionally involve the people around us, right? And culture teaches us what reality is, who our people are, who our enemies are, and who deserves to be killed, right? Mm-hmm. And culture has moved online, and that has changed everything, because what gets clicks online, what gets attention, what causes people to tune in to the stations that they choose to watch? It's emotion. It's amygdala reaction. And the amygdala is that emotional center of the brain where we get fight, flight, freeze. And outrage keeps people watching. It keeps people tuned in. It keeps people frightened and angry. And since culture has moved online, we've seen this increase in polarization and extremism. And people have started to become so enraged, they become addicted to the rage. And when you're that angry, you can justify all sorts of horrible behavior. And so I think that's been the big shift with extremism. I talk about that quite a bit in my book, The Minds of Mass Killers. I have a whole chapter on extremism and the psychology of that. And this really, I think, because how do we make good decisions? How do we analyze information? How do we assess what's true and what isn't? That's the prefrontal cortex. That's the thinking part of the brain, not the emotional center of the brain. But not everybody takes a pause when they hear something outrageous. And do they stop and think, I need to process this a little bit before I completely swallow it? And so I think this is why we see the most extremely upsetting things shared on social media, because it's incentivized to keep people agitated. I stopped listening to some of the network news in 2016. I would listen, you know, through podcasts, because I don't have an actual TV, so mm-hmm. I don't have cable, but I would listen to some of the news shows. And it hit me one day, my anxiety would go through the roof. My anger would go through the roof the more I listened. And one of the stations was actually playing with all their intro music. It was battle music. Mm-hmm. It was like war music.
Yeah.
And I just listened to this music and I said, this is putting me in my amygdala. Mm-hmm. You know, I do want to be aware, but I want to go for things that are more fact-based and not keeping me agitated. And then I can process and think it through more logically. But humans aren't very good at using their prefrontal cortex, and it's easily exploited. And I think this is part of the culture wars that we're seeing, the chaos that we're seeing that plays out from school districts to local governments to, you know, the kinds of political violence that we're seeing, and now assassinations. And it's a big thing. And when we look at it in the big picture, it's like, how do we dial this back a bit? I think when we have politicians who emphasize, we are one country. We are one people. We may have differences of opinion, but let's talk that through and let's use collaborative problem solving, right? This is how we teach preschoolers.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say we do that in families.
Yeah, use your words. Don't hit each other. You know, calm down. Take a time out. All these skills. I've said we need preschool teachers running the country because they might do a better job than a lot of our political leaders.
You know, I feel like people are in a constant state of fight or flight right now. And it's been that way for many years, that one little thing is going to set somebody off. If you say something, if you reference something, people are immediately set off instead of, hey, that's an interesting point. Let me think more about that.
Right.
No, it's just F you, you know, and screw you. I'm blocking you. I'm doing all of this. And I've been guilty of that myself. It's the climate we're in. And it's interesting that you talked about the music that a lot of the news stations play. It gets you feeling on edge. It makes you feel like I need to know what's going on because something bad is happening.
Exactly. When
in fact, there's not. They'll throw you the breaking news alert. And it's something that happened 2 days ago. It's not breaking news.
Yeah.
Our breaking news threshold has changed.
I don't think breaking news means, I think 9/11 changed that because everything became breaking news after 9/11. It was like a cat stuck in a tree, you know, breaking news.
But it keeps us on edge and it keeps us perched waiting to hear that next big thing. And our bodies can't sustain that. Right. Our cortisol levels are through the roof. Everybody is just so on edge that if you're ready to crack, you're this close to doing it.
100%. You nailed it. That's absolutely exactly what happens. Everybody's on edge. Mm-hmm. And some people never calm down. I spend a lot of my workday now with people who just are agitated about politics. And they want to use their whole hour just to vent. And they're outraged and they're terrified. And so my approach with everybody, take a breath. We've got to get your nervous system calm here and let's move to problem solving and dosing, how much you expose yourself to all this. Because yeah, there are legitimate things to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. But when you're so upset, you're not able to do any good in the world and don't let this stuff ruin your life. But everybody's needing to hear that right now. Yeah.
I feel like we've become a nation of abused pets. You know, like if you've ever had an abused dog or cat and... Yeah. Anytime you walk into the room and even no matter how much love you show it, and it's still going on, like there, I feel like that's where we're at, where we're in this place where we have to constantly keep looking around because what's the next thing that we're going to hear?
Yeah.
And so many of these things that we hear shock us and they scare us. But at the end of the day, in our own lives, in our own homes, how much of it actually affects us? Like if you turned the television off and you didn't consume all of this and 2 weeks later you turned it back on, I'm curious like how you would feel in those 2 weeks of not consuming anything. And did any of it affect you? Did the outside world, the tree falling in the forest, I'm sure it made a noise. It didn't hit your house. It didn't affect you directly. And it's not to say don't have empathy for people that other decisions are affecting. But at the end of the day, we also can't be the saviors of everything to everybody. We have to help those in our immediate control and in our immediate path. If we all could focus on that a little bit more instead of being the social justice warriors for the planet or for large swaths of things that we have absolutely no control over,
right,
we might be a little healthier. You know, I said a lot of this with the political climate and things like that as they were happening. I think I even said it to you, Stacey, when all this, I said, look, if you didn't watch anything for the next 4 years, I bet you'd be a lot happier person. And at the end of those 4 years, would you have rather spent 4 years worrying uncontrollably about things that you have zero control over? Or would you rather have spent those 4 years just enjoying life, doing what you love to do and further pursuing your interests and passions and helping people and all of that? And I think if we can take a collective breath at that, I think we'd be a bit of a happier society if we could hone ourselves in a little bit more for the reality of reality's terms that we all live with around us.
Beautifully said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To that point, you know, my life situation changed dramatically about 2 months ago and I'm living in a different situation. I have two TVs in my apartment. I used to live in a home, not like a institutionalized home, but a house. And everybody's like, yeah, we know. But I don't have the TV on. I spend a lot of time here at my desk. I'm usually out of my apartment doing some other things. And I haven't watched TV in probably, gosh, I want to say 4 weeks. Like I have not sat down and turned on the TV. I haven't watched any news. I do once in a great while look at the Associated Press, you know, top headlines, that yeah. kind of thing. I've turned off all of my news alerts. And I go to bed with Schitt's Creek playing in the background. And I set my timer for 30 minutes. And that's what I fall asleep to every night. And my level of anxiety has absolutely dropped. It probably for other reasons as well. But I don't wake up anxious. I don't feel like, oh God, what did I miss? What did yeah. I miss? Mm-hmm. You know what? The sun came out. The birds are chirping. I'm good. Yeah. That's what I can control. My cats are here. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at what's in your bubble and check your bubble, because we can't do anything about what's going on in the greater world. We can't fix it.
And like I said, I think we need if we want to live in this society, everybody is entitled to have their opinions. And, mm-hmm. and honest to God, there's far more extreme people than Charlie Kirk. Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, he was one of the few who wanted to have conversations. That was the point of what he was actually doing. Now, you can disagree with his views, but his point, he wasn't there with a big sign that said, fuck you, I'm right. It was prove me wrong. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a dialogue. And he used verbiage of like, okay, prove me wrong. Let's talk. It's the old adage of the person in the park with a sign. It's exactly what he was doing, literally in a park with a sign doing this. Right. And he encouraged and he could talk competently. I mean, if you go back and if you don't know anything about Charlie Kirk, and I didn't know a lot about Charlie Kirk, go watch the Bill Maher interview. I mean, if you don't agree mm-hmm. with him on much of anything, which I personally don't, but I don't hate the man, and nor should he have died. This is utterly insane. We could disagree, but I felt like at the end of the day, I could probably go have a beer with the guy and we could have a conversation like we used to do. And we could hear each other and go, oh, okay, well, this is how you believe things. This is how you were brought up. This is okay. I can respect that. He wasn't like, and my belief system, I'm going to go in and I'm going to take this away from you. It's like, we can exist. We can coexist. Is essentially, I think, was part of his message, as much as people want to say it wasn't. He wasn't a let's kill everyone that disagrees with us type person.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.